This is DW News, and these are our top stories. President Joe Biden says the United States will double its donation of COVID-19 shots to the UN's COVAX program, with the goal of vaccinating 70% of the world's population within a year. The new pledge will take Washington's commitment to over 1 billion doses. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says internal or external forces may be behind an assassination attempt on his senior aide. Police say more than 10 bullets hit Sergei Shefir's car, seriously wounding his driver but leaving him unharmed. Russia has denied any involvement. Germany's Chancellor has paid tribute to Bundeswehr soldiers who helped evacuate people from Afghanistan. Angela Merkel awarded medals at a military ceremony to honour those involved. The Bundeswehr helped more than 5,300, mostly Afghan people, to get out of Kabul airport. You're watching DW News. You can get more information on our website. That's dw.com.
The likelihood of you being vaccinated against the coronavirus depends on where you live and how wealthy your country is. Less than 10% of people in poor nations have received one shot. The UN Secretary General calls this obscene. Well, today, U.S. President Biden called on all world leaders to go big in fighting the pandemic. The U.S. will donate 1 billion vaccine doses with a goal of inoculating 70% of the planet by this time next year. Now, this is the same goal that Biden set for the U.S. earlier this year. It was too ambitious for America. Is it unrealistic for the world? I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
Nothing is more urgent than all of us working together to defeat COVID-19. This is an all-hands-on-deck crisis. We're not going to solve this crisis with half measures or middle-of-the-road ambitions. We need to go big. And the good news is we know how to beat this pandemic, that to beat the pandemic here, we need to beat it everywhere. And we're going to lead with the power of our example. And we're not going to stop.
Also coming up, violence and the pandemic. There is shock and disbelief here in Germany tonight. What started with a simple request to put on a face mask has ended in murder.
The crime is thought to have unfolded with a row in the petrol station, as the young cashier told the suspect that he needed to wear a mask. The suspect later returned with a weapon. After another row, the suspect allegedly shot the victim in the head.
To our viewers on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day with a call on world leaders to up their game in the fight against the coronavirus pandemic. Today, U.S. President Biden convened a virtual COVID-19 summit and urged his counterparts around the globe to go big to end the vaccination divide between rich and poor countries. In Africa alone, less than 4% of the population is fully vaccinated. Biden has come under pressure himself for not doing enough to help the international vaccination drive, while at the same time pushing ahead for booster shots for Americans. Today, he announced the U.S. is doubling the amount of vaccine doses it plans to share with the world to 1 billion. And he asked other leaders to work towards an ambitious goal of getting shots in the arms of 70% of all people on the planet by this time next year.
That to beat the pandemic here, we need to beat it everywhere. And I made and I'm keeping the promise that America will become the arsenal of vaccines, as were the arsenal for democracy during World War II. Today, I'm announcing another historic commitment. The United States is buying another 500 million doses of Pfizer to donate to low and middle-income countries around the world. This is another 500 million doses that will all be shipped by this time next year. For every one shot we've administered to date in America, we have now committed to do three shots to the rest of the world. Today, the United States is also announcing that we're providing an additional $370 million to support administering these shots and delivery globally. And we're going to help all of us build back better by supporting the establishment of a financial mechanism for global health security. To simply state it, to prepare for the next pandemic, because there will be a next time. We all know that. We can do this. This is within our capacity. We know what needs to be done. We just have to make the choice to do it.
Well, the numbers in this pandemic help to tell a story of a world of haves and have-nots. Since the first reported coronavirus outbreak in early 2020, more than 220 million people have been infected. More than 4.6 million have died. A third of the global population is now fully vaccinated, most of those in wealthy countries. The economic costs of the pandemic, they've also been astronomical. In 2020, a quarter of a billion jobs were wiped out. And so far this year, only about half have returned. Women, migrant workers, and young people have been worst affected. The pandemic resulted in a lost year of education. On average, children missed 74 days of school last year. And again, it was students in poor countries who suffered most and missed even more days. Now, the key to ending the pandemic lies in vaccinations, vaccinations for everyone. And the world is far from that goal, a fact that the UN Secretary General has described as obscene.
For millions around the world, life is back to something like normal. 50,000 at a concert in Denmark.
Well, that's not bad, Corona.
Really, what Corona? Easy to say in a country where 80% of people are vaccinated. The scene in Afghanistan couldn't be more different. This desperate man, one of many, critically ill, alive only with the help of a fast-diminishing supply of drugs, oxygen and faith. Our country is a poor country. We need medicine, different things, almost everything. If someone will come and give us something, and the patient's problems will be resolved with Allah's mercy, this is what I ask for. Quite how bad things are is impossible to know, as testing here is almost non-existent. In Togo, these people are lining up to protect themselves after the government introduced a COVID-19 pass system which only allows vaccinated people into certain places. Yes, if they had not done this, I really wasn't thinking of getting vaccinated. Persuading people is only half the battle when there are just 1.6 million doses for 8 million people. Here at Rio de Janeiro's Remembrance Forest, they're planting trees for the dead. It's in memory of my husband who died of COVID in March of last year. It's hard to talk about. Even after 500,000 lives lost, Brazil continues to be a hotspot. Just 50% of the population have been vaccinated. In part, because of scepticism fueled by President Bolsonaro, including this awkward exchange with the British Prime Minister recently, which underlined just how difficult orchestrating a global response to COVID-19 can be. But as the cameras are shuffled out, the Brazilian wags his finger in protest. Not yet, he says.
Not yet. Well, my first guest tonight is Dr. William Schaffner. He's a professor of preventive medicine and health policy at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. Dr. Schaffner, it's good to see you again. The United States was unable to reach a vaccination goal of 70% this past July 4th. If this was too ambitious for the richest country in the world, is it unrealistic for the entire world to reach that in a year's time?
Well, I think it's certainly an aspirational goal. There's no doubt about it. It will take not only a massive amount of vaccine, but an even more massive amount of effort to reach people. There are lots of people out there just eager to get the vaccine. But if the United States is any indication, There are also populations that are skeptical, hesitant, and downright reluctant. So it will take a lot of work.
We know that less than 10% of the population in poor countries has received even one vaccine dose. At the same time, you've got the United States, which is offering booster shots. I know there's still debate on who should get those booster shots, and I know there are obvious ethical issues here, but talk to me about the medical risk that we all face if we all are not inoculated.
Well, clearly we must take a global view. A pandemic, by definition, is a global outbreak. After its introduction, or its discovery, I should say, in Wuhan, China, it moved around the world and hit every continent within a matter of 2 or 3 months. And that continues to be the case. And we know that variants can spring up anywhere and, with the assistance of air travel, move around the world very, very quickly. So wherever you are, if the virus is over there, it can be where you are in a short period of time. So for both humanitarian reasons and reasons of self-interest, we all want to vaccinate as many of the world's people as quickly as possible.
And we know across the world, children have returned to school. We are seeing a dramatic rise in pediatric cases of COVID-19, pediatric hospitalizations. Is this simply because the youngest are not vaccinated?
Well, certainly the youngest aren't vaccinated, but along came Delta, that extraordinarily contagious variant, which is now seeking out, it's homing in on unvaccinated people, and it's moving down even into pediatric populations, into children. You know, we all learned early on that children were less affected than were adults, and senior adults particularly. But we are learning now that this Delta variant can put children into the hospital very, very efficiently. So we wait the data such that we can start vaccinating younger and younger children. Here in the United States, we're able to vaccinate children at least age 12 and older right now.
Yeah, and we know that BioNTech and Pfizer, they say their vaccine is now safe and effective in children age 5 and up. When do you expect all children in the U.S. To be inoculated? And isn't it interesting, we've gone from senior citizens now to young children as the group that's being hardest hit in this pandemic?
Yeah, exactly. We're working on the clinical trials in children in a staggered fashion, one after another, to be sure that the vaccine is safe and effective. And it's, as you said, Pfizer has submitted data to the Food and Drug Administration now for children age 5 through 11. They're working on clinical trials in children under age 5. I would expect that we can start vaccinating children between 5 and 11 sometime later this fall, early this winter, here in the United States.
All right, we will be watching. Dr. William Schaffner from Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. As always, Dr. Schaffner, we appreciate your time and your insights.
Good enough.
Afghanistan's new rulers, the Taliban, say they want a seat at the global table, the UN General Assembly, and they say they want to be heard. The Taliban have requested a time slot to speak before the UN General Assembly this week. Now, this is not a simple request. The accredited representative for Afghanistan is the ambassador from the ousted government, and he looks set to deliver a speech next Monday, despite challenges to his credentials from Kabul. Germany's foreign minister, Heiko Maas, he's in New York, and he gave DW News this comment on the Taliban's request.
I think that it's right that we talk with the Taliban. For that, a number of channels have emerged in recent weeks. I don't think performances at the United Nations are helpful. What's important are the demands we have communicated to the Taliban as regards maintaining human rights, especially women's rights, an inclusive government, and that they distance themselves clearly and unequivocally from terrorist groups, and that there are finally hard facts alongside the pleasant words.